Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Metzia Daf Chaf. We are holding on Yotes Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Right at the two dots. Tanur Rabbanan, we have learned in Hebrews. Motzer Shaver. Fellow is walking down the street and discovers a Shaver document. Shaver comes from the word Shavir, or breaking. So this is a receipt, basically, that the Isha, the woman would write to her former husband upon receiving the Ksua Payat, which she is entitled to upon her divorce or his death. So this fellow finds a Shaver indicating that Reuven paid off the Ksuba to his wife Leah. Rashi explains that in this case, the wife actually was still married to him. You can do that. You can pay out your Ksuba even while still married. So we have this Shaver. Can we return it? Can we give it to the husband? It depends. Bizman Shah Isha Maida. If the woman is agreeable, sure. Yachshel Baal, return it to the husband. Eino Isha Maida, but if she's not agreeable, Well Yachshel Leilazah, don't return it to anybody. Now, Bizman Shah Isha Maida, Mias Yachshel. At any rate, we just learned that if the Isha is okay with it, give it back to the husband. Yachshel Baal. How? Why? Veleichosh, let's be concerned. Dilma Kos Valitim Benisim. Perhaps she drafted the document with the intent of giving it to him Nisan time. She expected the money then. So it was dated Nisan. But ultimately, it's not Tishrei. She only issued it to him Tishrei when he actually paid her the ksuba. So what's wrong with that? Va'ozlo zavanta l'ksuba sa b'tevas hano. And she went and she sold the rights to collecting your ksuba. You can do that. It's like selling a lottery, because the fellow is pretty much taking a chance. He's paying her a token amount on the chance that she gets divorced or widowed and she deserves that ksuba payout. He'll get it instead of her. In the case that she dies first and the husband is the inheritor, then there's no ksuba payout. So you're sort of taking a chance. That's called toiv asana. So she can sell that ksuba min nisan ra'tishrei. So between nisan and tishrei, she sold the ksuba, and the buyer now is entitled to the ksuba payout if and when it comes. And what happens now? We have this shaver found on the road, which was dated Nisan, right? But it's not really accurate anymore, because ultimately the ksuba payout only occurred Tishrei. And now that we'll return the shaver to the husband, umapikli the shaver, he'll produce the shaver, which is dated when? Nechsiv b'Nisan, dated Nisan, which precedes this fellow's purchase. V'asa l'mitra v'l'kuchash l'kedin. And he'll go and retake. Rashi says, let's say there was a certain field which was earmarked for the ksuba payout, the husband will retake it and reject the lekeach, the buyer, because I'm first. Look, the ksuba was paid off already, Nisan, before you entered in this deal with my wife, which obviously shleikadin, it's unjustified, because truthfully the ksuba payout only occurred to Tishrei. Amar Rav Shema Mina, we can learn from this halacha. In fact, we're not concerned about this. Isel the Shmuel, we hold of Shmuel. Damer Shmuel, la meichas tarchev lechaveri. Suppose Shimon borrowed money from Reuben. Reuben has a tarchev, and Reuben now sells the rights to collect that loan. He sells the tarchev to Levi. V'chazor machle, and Reuben goes ahead and behind Levi's back forgives Shimon the loan. You can do that. Machle, I feel Yerush machle. Even Reuben's Yerush, who inherits that debt, is still considered the actual claimer, the owner of that claim, even though he sold the rights to collect that claim. But he is still the author of that claim, he's still the baal of that claim, and he can be meichel. So therefore, pertaining to our sugi, even if she would have sold the ksuba, and only later did the husband pay it off, still she can just forgive him. Right? So basically, there's no ksuba to collect anymore. And This fellow invested in her, in the chance to collect her ksuba, loses his rights. So even though it was predated, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, she's still in the driver's seat. She can still be meichel the husband, the ksuba. Abaye says no. I feel the tamer less of the Shmuel. Even if we don't follow Shmuel's chiddush, once it's sold, it's out of your hands. Even if we go with that approach, we don't hold up Shmuel. Still, we have no concern in our case that we're going to disenfranchise the buyer of her ksuba. Hachem Ayaskin was speaking, Mishishar ksuba, Yoyitza Metachas Yada. She's still holding the ksuba document. If she would have sold it, she would have handed the ksuba to the buyer. Apparently there was no buyer. For Rava, Amar Rava says, no, that wouldn't be sufficient to allay our fears. Imishum shtar ksuba, if it's only, you know, the fact that she has a ksuba is not really telling us much. Chayshina l'shtei ksuba. You know, sometimes you write a duplicate ksuba if one is, you know, sort of misplaced. So maybe she's holding the second ksuba, but she already gave the first ksuba to the buyer, and there was a buyer on the scene, and now he's going to be deprived of his purchase. My buyer responds, no, chada, number one, l'shtei ksuba is a chayshina. We're not concerned about duplicate ksubas. How often does that happen? Void, another point. Why we're not concerned about disenfranchising this buyer. Shaver b'zmanei torif. Ultimately, when she hands the husband the receipt, let's say Tishrei, fine, but it's still going to be activated retroactively from Nisan. Why? Abai l'tameh, because Abai, who just presented this point, follows his respective opinion. The Amar who told us a while ago, Eidah b'chasum of zachan loy, when you have Eidah in a shtar, in this case, the Eidah on the Shaver, they grant the eventual holder of that document rights from the moment of signature. So basically, it happens retroactively. So let's say you're right. It was drafted Nisan time, but only given in Tishrei. Ultimately, when it's given in Tishrei, he gets rights back from Nisan. So he preempts that buyer. Continues the Mishnah. Motze igrois shum igrois mazon. Fellow discovers all kinds of documents in the street. Igrois shum, Rashi says, is a document which Bezdin, where Bezdin declares that they assessed the properties of the loiva who defaulted on his loan, and they granted it to the malva. Igrois mazon is another document where a person committed to supporting his stepdaughter. Shtar chalitza miunin. If a woman goes through chalitza, she gets a shtar. If she goes through miun, this is a girl underage, she's under bas mitzvah, and she can just walk away from a marriage which was arranged by her mother or brother. So she gets a shtar to declare that. V'shtari beirudin, which tomorrow will explain. V'chol ma'asa bezin, all types of formal bezin documents. You find them, harizayachsa, just return it. But you found the document inside some sort of case, which the Gemara will describe, or tachar shastaris, or yagudu shastaris, all kinds of bundles of documents. Harei zayachsi can return it. The kama agudu shastaris, what is considered an aguda? At least three. Shloisha kshurin zebezeh, three tied to each other. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Eimer, echad alevi mishloisha. Let's say those three loan documents are all under the same borrower, borrowing from Reuven, that's one document. The second document he borrowed from Shimon, the third is from Levi. So now we know that they fell from the hands of the borrower, right? Reuven, the borrower, is the one that was holding on to all three. Don't give it back to the lenders. Yasher Levi. Shloisha Levi min Echad. But if it's the other way around, all three documents are coming from the same lender. I lent Reuven, I lent Shimon, I lent Levi. So in this case, you know it fell out of his hands, right? What are the chances of all these three documents falling from three different people? So chances are, Yasher Lamava, it belongs to the Malva, and he takes possession. Finally, Motzer Shtar Besh Teresa. A person discovers some sort of, Shtar Chayiv amongst his documents, and he's not sure how he got it. In Veinu Yedeya Mativa, he's not sure where it's coming from. Was it given to him by the Leiva, by the Malva, maybe a third party, because it was partially paid up? He doesn't know. He munach hashjev eloi, leave it until Yol Navi comes, and then you figure it out. Imeish behem mayan sim poinos. If a person finds, amongst his documents, he finds simpoinos. Simpoin again is like a shaver, it's like a lashon of breaking. So basically, a proof of payment on one of his loan documents. Yasa mashab simpoinos. He follows whatever it's there, mashab simpoinos, and he accepts it as fact. And in fact, the loan that's indicated in this receipt has been paid off. And the chiddush is, even though typically when you pay off a loan, you get back the loan document. So if I'm a lender, why am I holding my loan document? True, I have a receipt next to it, but so the point is, Rashi says, maybe the fellow paid me off and paid me up, and he delayed in picking up his receipt. So I have my receipt together with my old loan document, which has been paid up already, and therefore I have to treat it as paid up. My story birurin. What exactly is that? Acha tirgumu, here in Bava, they interpreted story tanasa. So where they record the claims of both litigants, so we have them recorded. That's called story birurin. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar, it's actually a more simple type of a listing of names. Zeh bar lo echad, v'zeh bar lo echad. So basically, when you have two litigants, two disputants in the Bezdin, each one has a right to choose one dayan, and then those two dayanim pick a third one. We want to remember exactly who chose who. So we have this shtar beirurin. V'chol ma'aseh, Bezdin har zeh yachseh. continues more with a story which we actually had a couple of days ago. Who Gita, there was a certain get, the Yishtakach Beidinah de Rav Huna, which was found in a busy place, Rav Huna's Bezn. And the fellow was standing by, and he said, you know, actually, I'm a messenger to deliver this get, it fell from me. Davaksibe Beshvirin Masa Darachis Nahara. I had a name of a husband in there, coming from this town, Shvirin Masa Achis Nahara. Am Rav Huna Chayshinon Lishnei Shviri. You know, although in this specific town, we know of no other person with the same name, but maybe there was another town with the same name. Over there, we have another person that happens to have the same name, so perhaps it fell, it belonged to that person from the other town. Amr Rav Chizda L'Rabba. So Rav Chizda, who was sitting there, told Rabba, who was also a Talmud of Rav Huna, Puk Ayinba, go, you know, look into this matter, look through the sources of Halacha, L'Urta, Boila, Rav Huna Minach, because tonight Rav Huna is going to come ask you how to deal with this case. Nafak Dakba Askach. Askach, he went out and investigated, he found a Mishnah. This is not our Mishnah. Kol Ma'aseh Bezen, or is it Yachsev? It's a confirmed formal Bezen document. Return it, no problem. Bottom line, since we have no confirmation of another person with the same name, we don't have to speculate. Amli Rav Amram L'Rabba. So Rav Amram turned to Rabba. How could you compare to our Mishnah? Hechi Pashat Mari Surim Amon. How could you compare a case of a get which involves an Eishes Ish, which is a question of Isser? If we're going to give it to her and assume that it's hers, you're going to learn that from the Halacha in the Mishnah, which describes a monetary document, a financial document. So perhaps Isser is more severe, and you can't just take chances. Omalei, he responded with a very sharp response. Tarda, Rashi says, Meshuamam. Not very, some description that, you know, has to do with being deranged. Deranged or lazy, not very complimentary. She said, basically, what do you mean? Of course I have a right to compare the two cases. Take a look at the Mishnah again. Amongst the documents listed, we have Isser-related documents. Shtarei chalitza mi'unin, terminate marriages, etc. Of course, they're Isser related. And so we see that you find it, return it. That was the end of the of this heated exchange. Paka arza de beirav. There was a beam made of cedar which burst at that moment, right in the base medrash. And the question was why? Why it happened? It was certainly a shine of displeasure from Hashem, but why? Mar omam Hashem lo soyde di paka. So these two amiraim. Had this exchange now, and one said, "It, you know why it burst? It was an einish because you insulted me." Umar Amar Mishum the Soy the Deepaka. And the other sheet, the other Mandamar says, "No, actually, it was due to my my honor that was offended because remember you embarrassed me in the Beis Medrash and you." You came out so strong against me. Hey, chepach, could you compare one to the other? So basically, whatever it was some sort of show of displeasure from Hashem, either because of the name that he called him, or because of the fact that he challenged him in the open like that in the Beis HaMidrash. Mo'atzav chavisa b'dluskama. My chavisa, he found the star in a chavisa. What is that? Omer Rabba, bar bar chana. Chemes tan, a small leather pouch. Ma'at luskama, which was the next item in the Mishnah. Omer Rabba, Rabba Shmuel. Talika desavi, some sort of pouch, which older people used to put in their items. Tachrich shal shtoris, yagudah shal shtoris. Tanur abonon kamahu tachrich shal shtoris. How much constitutes a bundle of documents? Shloish shal kruchan zebezeh, three wrapped, rolled together. Vekami yagudah shal shtoris, what is that? Shloish shal kshurin zebezeh, three shtoris tied to each other with some sort of rope. Shamas minok kesho simon. How do we return it? Apparently because the owner will come and describe to us exactly how that thing is knotted. And that provides a sign of ownership, which is interesting because it's controversial. We're going to see in the next paragraph, but it's Hashem, it's Machlechol Shaila, whether that's sufficient for a simon. So how can you allow him to return it based on the kesher? Ha'a, Tani Rav Chia says that we're not speaking about any knots or strings. Rav Chia learned like this. Shloisha kruchen zebezeh. Agudah shal shtaris is not tied together. Wrapped together. Three shtaris wrapped together. Yachi hanu tachrach. That's exactly the first case. Tachrish Ashtaris is also a wrapping of shtaris. Says the more difference like this. Tachrich means kol chad v'chad brosh t'chavrei. In the tachrich we have, let's say three, but they're not actually rolled together. You have one rolled up, and the other one sort of tucked into this one, and the third one is tucked into this one. So they're sort of like, head to head. Or I should say head to tail. That's a tachroch. Aguda means the romu adot yukruchais. Aguda means they're wrapped together straightforwardly, meaning you have three sort of one on top of the other, and they're just rolled together. Says the Gemara, ucheruchais my machros. Okay, this fellow finds kruchais. How is he going to announce it? Well, what's he going to say that he found? A minion. Okay, he's going to say that he found three documents, and you tell me exactly how they were rolled up, right? Says the Gemara, okay, if that's the case, my ear is tlasa. So why does it have to be three? I feel a train nami. You can also announce two. Look, I found a couple, and you know, I found shtoreis, right, which is plural. You'll tell me exactly how they were lying. Ella kadamar avina tiva machros. Rather, the correct way of calling out for the aveda is, I found documents, right? But again, the point is, if he's giving out the number right away, so two can work as well. I can say, I found two, and you tell me how it was situated. So the answer is no. He's not going to give away the number either. He's going to allow the potential owner to come and prove that, right? To present the number as a sign of ownership. Tiva machros. All he says is the item. Describes the item. I found the documents. So, actually the word tiva means coins, right? So there Ravina is talking about found, the fellow found coins. He doesn't divulge which coin, doesn't identify which one, just says coins. He says, well, the correct way of announcing it is, I found documents. Now, you come along and tell me how many, you tell me how it was wrapped. So this only works by three, because if it's only two, then once I say I found documents, it means two, right? Minimum plural is two, so that's not going to really show much if you come and say two. So it only works starting from three. Continues the Gemara. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer Echad Alevi Mishloshi Yachzor Alevi. So you find three documents, three Shtari Chayiv, loan documents, and they're all under the same borrower's name. One says Reuven borrowed from Shimon, one says Reuven borrowed from Levi, one says Reuven borrowed from Yehuda. You give it back, you know for sure it belongs to the Levi. It didn't fall out of the Malva's hands. Why? This is like a Daitach. The Malvininu, if they fell out of the lenders, what are they doing next to each other? What are the chances? Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda both dropped documents right here? This is that Malva Nin. If you're going to suggest that it came from the lender, lenders, my bogabi adadi. What are they doing next to each other? Well, Dilma lekiyuminu asli. Maybe there's a reason for that, because they all three came to the bez to certify their documents, and then it got lost together. Well, the Bekaim was speaking that it was already confirmed, already certified. So it couldn't have, been on the way to the Bezin. Dilma miyadu de safer nafl. Okay, so maybe they all came to the Bezin. Same day. And the Sefer certified, and he dropped it. Le mashi inish kiyum may be able to the safer. Person doesn't do that. He doesn't leave a certified star in the hands of a Sefer, lest, get lost, etc. So that's not an option. So evidently it fell out of the Levi's hands, and he's the rightful owner. On the other hand, shloisha shalava me'echad, yachshel lemalve. If you have three documents, all under the same lender's name, Reuven lent money to Shimon, Reuven lent money to Levi, next document says Reuven lent money to Yehuda, then you know it belongs to the lender, and the loans are still outstanding. Why? Because it can't be otherwise. These are gadadad loving in, if they belong to the borrowers, what are they doing next to each other? My bo gabi adadi. Well, dumul mechtevinu azli. Maybe they all went to the cipher on the same day to write themselves a document. So it fell out of their hands, not only out of the lenders. Tachsivi betlasi adi safer. We have three handwritings, so it couldn't have been the same cipher. Dumul kiyaminu azli. Maybe it belonged to the three borrowers, and they went on the way to the bezin to certify it. Well, they don't certify. The malva does that. Malva mekayim shtori. Leiva mekayim shtori. Typically, the lender tries to certify it. The leiva doesn't. Is not in the business of certifying his loan documents. So that's not an option. And finally, Yeshman Simpoinois, Yazam Ashib Simpoinois. So as we said, a simpon is that receipt indicating proof of payment. So a fellow finds a simpoin, he's got to treat it as real. Amar Yirmibab, Amarab, Simpon Ayyitzim Metachas de Malva? Listen to this. If a lender discovers a receipt on one of his loans that he lent to others, and he finds a receipt amongst his documents, Ava Bishakosa Uksavyad, even though it's in his handwriting. Don't treat it as legitimate. It's like he's playing around. Meaning, it has no legal value. Because a shaver, if it's not sitting in the hands of the borrower, it's worthless. Now, it goes without saying that if this simpoin was drafted by an official scribe, so there we can explain why the malva drafted this document before it was really relevant. Safar is Shramalei Bekosov. You happen to bump into a Sefer, and he saw it as an opportunity to, you know, draft this receipt, but of course it wasn't yet issued, it's not yet been activated. But even if it was written in the lender's own handwriting, so he personally did it, puzzle still, we don't treat it as valid. Why? Savar, because we speculate that perhaps the Malva was thinking, I have to have this prepared. Why? Perhaps my borrower might show up a minute to Shabbos. Look up early. And he's going to, you know, pay me up. And he's not going to want to give me the money without a receipt. If I don't issue him the receipt, he won't give me the money. So I want to anticipate that. I want to plan ahead. So I'm going to prepare myself a receipt, so that when he delivers the money, I'll have the receipt at the ready. So yeah, perhaps it was just a reserve receipt, and we don't treat it as done. Tanan, the kasha on this is from our Mishnah. So the Mishnah clearly indicates otherwise, that if a lender discovers a simpoin, he has to adhere to what the simpoin is saying, that it's been paid up. So Rav Safra elsewhere explains a teretz that can be applied to our case as well. That what happened was, he discovered this simpoin, shaivar, this receipt, this proof of payment, amongst his torn documents. So typically when a shtar has been paid up, you tear it up, right? So he has a shaivar together with his torn documents, and this shtar, the shaivar is intact, not torn. So that's an indication that in fact the loan had been paid up and the shaver is real. Why? Because that would explain why it's sitting amongst his deleted documents. Meaning, if he's still planning on using the shaver, he would keep it in a safe place. Why do you put it over here? Because he doesn't need it anymore. Because the labor paid him off already. And this was a shaver to indicate proof of payment. It so happens to be the labor forgot it. He left it behind. So fine. So he threw it together with his amongst his unneeded documents. So that's indication to us that in fact this shaver, this simpoin, is reflective of a real payout. Toshma, here comes another kash on Rabbi Yirmiya, who says, don't reckon with a simpoin found in the Malva's hands, unless we have a special circumstance. But typically, we don't give it validity. Nimtzal le'echad ben shtaroysav, shtoroy shal Yosef ben Shimon Perua. So basically, you have two people in town with the name Yosef ben Shimon, and we have a fellow who lent both people money. And he has a receipt amongst his documents. He has a little paper saying that Yosef and Shimon paid me up. Shtoroi shal Yosef and Shimon perua. So that's it. He's out on both of them. He can't collect from anyone. He doesn't know which Yosef and Shimon paid him up. Shtoroi shneim perua, and they both are pot. We deem both their documents as null and void. No. So what do we see? That a simpon in the hands of a malva has validity. Well, kadam rav safra. Just as Rav Safra explains later, like we said before, it's amongst his deleted documents, which indicates that, in fact, the event took place, it's been paid off. Toshmai comes another right, another kash. Shvuah shle pakadnu ab. Halacha is that if a lender passes away and his kids want to collect from the kids of the leiva, they have to make a shvuah. Shvuah shle pakadnu ab. We swear that our father never instructed us that this loan has been paid off. Bishalei amalu lanu abba, and he never told us, when he was still healthy, he never told it to us. We promised that we never found any receipts, any indication amongst this document that this document has been paid off. Bottom line, if they would have a shaver, even though they're the malva, we have to deem it as real. Amar Rav Safra, oh, here comes Rav Safra's teretz. Right? This was the Shenimtza ben Shtorois Kerun. We found it amongst the torn documents, again, which indicates that it's a past event, it's been paid off. Toshmai comes another kasha. We have a brisa, Simpoin Sheshel of Edom. We have the Simpoin document with Edom signed on it. Iskayim b'chaysamav. We certify, that's typically what Iskayim b'chaysamav means. We certify, we authenticate the Edom, and then we treat it as a real document and we go with it. No, where is the document? Sitting in the hands of the Malve. Right? Okay, says the more emo yiskay mechesamav. What's really in the brayse? That we have to verify the story through the signatories, through the edim. What does that mean? We asked them if it happened. The shaglin and lehu lasad. We asked the edim iparu iloiparu if it was paid off or not. Okay, that's all the brayse means. Tashma comes another kash. Simple sheishal edim kasher. Simple with edim is kasher. So even if the Malva is yelling and screaming, no, it wasn't paid off, we treat it as fact. So the Gemara, my Edom Edekim. When it says Yeshal of Edom, it doesn't mean that simply there are Edom on the sign on it. That's not enough. My Edom Edekim, it means that we have Edom to be Mekayim, Edom that certify these signatures. And Rashi says that if not for the fact that the simpoint is indicative of a true event, the Bezdin would not have gotten involved in certifying the Shtar. Mistabra. And in fact, we'll prove. This is what the Brisa meant to say. Why? Migtani is safer. Because the Brisa continues. There are no Edom on it. It's invalid. Why? My what does it mean? There's no Edom. There are no Edom signed on it. Is that what it means? The puzzle. Goes without saying. Of course it's puzzle. It meant to say that it wasn't certified. So in the ratio when it says Yeshal of Edom means it was certified, and that's indicative of a true event, and we treat it as fact. Okay, so now the Mashah says that based on this, we can also reinterpret the previous price. Simpon, Yeshal of Edom is Kambach HaSama means we certify it. And we see that in fact, if in fact it was certified, then we know that the Bezdin looked into it and it was real. Gufa, so let's go back to that price. Simpon Shesha of Edom is Kaimach HaSamav. Ain't all of Edom. Let's say we have no Edom. Which basically means we don't have a certification. But the Yaitzi Metachas Deshlish. But rather than the Loiva or the Malva producing the Shoiver, it's in the hands of a third person. Or Oishi Yaitzi Lachachisim Shtoris. Or the simpoin, the shaver, was not a separate document. Rather, it was scribbled on the actual loan document after the signatures. Reuben lent money to Shimon, it's signed. Below that, we have this comment saying it's been paid off. Kasha. In both cases, we say that it's kasha, we accept it as fact. Why? The Gemara explains. Yoytzi mitachas deshlish. When it's in the hands of a third party, he's believed. The ha'em ne'mavu l'shlish, because the malveh. Who is the one that writes the shaver? Apparently entrusted in the hands of a shlish. He trusted him. He gave him the namanas. And whatever he says goes. He says paid up. Means paid up. And likewise, yoytze la'achar chisim shtoris. If the payout statement is indicated on the actual loan document, below the signatures, nami. There as well, we take it as fact. He loved the pura. Because if not for the fact that it was paid off, lo yehava mara the shtori. Nobody in his right mind would go scribble that on his loan document. The lender certainly wouldn't do that. So the fact that it's actually a comment on his actual shtachayv indicates that in fact it happens, and we treat it as fact. Hadron alach shnayim echsim. Okay, so in summary, we started with a shayver of ksuva which was found, and we explained why we're not concerned about predating. We have Rava's pshat and Abaye's pshat. We have a Mishnah with many, many documents that were found. Harei zeh yachzeh that can be returned. We went through them one by one, and how they're wrapped with each other, and how the siman is. We discussed halacha the simpoin, when we take it as fact, and when we question it. Hadran lachshaim, oichsan, all the best to you, and aslacha rabbah.